Matthew chapter 16 as we begin this morning. Matthew chapter 16, we'll begin reading in verse number 13. Matthew 16, verse 13, the Bible says, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, 'Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets.' He saith unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?' And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.'" And one of the greatest confessions of faith in Christ ever is this confession of Christ from the mouth of Peter. And Jesus has some wonderful things here to show us in his word today. I want you to look with me in verse number 17. The Bible says in verse number 17, "Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven.'" And in my Bible, I've circled these three words: "Blessed art thou." Blessed art thou. And in the Bible, the word "blessed" is a wonderful word, and it literally means happy, but not the kind of happy that is happy because things are happening the way you want them to happen. Blessed in the Bible is a certain type of happy. All through the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter number 5, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst. Blessed. And by the way, I'm going to say it back and forth, but there's not a wrong way to pronounce it, I don't believe. Sometimes you say blessed, sometimes you say blessed. Same word. I just say it different about every other time I say it. If you'll forgive me, I'd be grateful for that. Blessed. But it means happy. But it's not just happy because everything's going right. Blessed means I'm happy in the Lord. Heaven happy. Happy in the fact that I have a Savior. Happy in the fact that no matter the circumstances of life, I have a blessed hope. I have a rock for which my foundation is laid. It's that rock, our God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus looks at Peter and says, "Peter, you're blessed. You're happy. You're satisfied. You're going to be complete. You've got what you really want." He says, "Blessed art thou." And today's message is simply titled, "Blessed." I want to be happy. Everybody says, "I just want to be happy." I've talked to so many people. They say, "I just want to be happy." And honestly, I'll just tell you something. I want to be happy today. I want to be happy at lunchtime. I want to be happy this afternoon when I'm taking a nap. I want to be happy in life. I really do. I want to be happy. How about you? How many of you woke up this morning and said, "Boy, I sure hope I don't have a happy day today"? I want to be happy. I want to be blessed. I don't want to just be happy because things are going right. I want to have the kind of spirit that is resting in the Lord when things aren't going right. I want to have the kind of spirit that's satisfied and happy and blessed only the way God can bless us. I'll just let you know something. I don't know of a subject that the world and people have more wrong than the subject of happiness. We strive and we work to get things and say, "Maybe that will make me happy." We work and we strive to have relationships. "Maybe that will make me happy." We plot and plan and run our lives in efforts to be happy. I'm reminded of Eddie Murphy. You've heard of him, right? Eddie Murphy said, "I can have anything I want, but I'm not happy. Why am I not happy?" He could learn something from the text that we're studying today. Jesus looks at Peter and says, "Peter, now you are happy." Now, Peter, you are happy. And I want to have that same kind of spirit. The Bible says, blessed. Peter was happy, and here's the reason why. Three things that made Peter happy. The first thing, Peter knew who Jesus was. The second thing that made Peter happy, Peter was instructed by God. And the third thing, Peter was introduced to the church. Let's just begin here this morning with happy, blessed. Peter knew who Jesus was. What made Peter happy? What made Jesus be able to look at Peter and say, you're happy, you're blessed? The first thing is, he knew who Jesus was. Look, the Bible says in verse 13, Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? This is a primarily Gentile area that Jesus and his disciples have come to. And it's in this setting that Jesus begins to introduce to us the church. And he talks to his disciples. He begins the conversation with a very pointed and specific question. He says, listen up, guys. He says, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He looks at Peter and the disciples. He says, I want to ask you guys a question. Who do people say that I, the Son of Man, am? Jesus is prodding. He asked the question very specifically. He refers to himself as the Son of Man, and he does not include in his question his deity because he wants the disciples to give it some thought. So here's what the disciples say. The Bible says in verse 14, they said, well, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some, Elias, Elijah. And others, Jeremiah. Or one of the prophets. Now, this was not something that was unkind. But they just said, here's what people think. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they answer, well, some people say you're Elijah. Some people say you're John the Baptist. Some people say you're Jeremiah. Some people say you're a prophet. And did they say that and they look at Jesus and they liken him unto these people because they dislike him? No, it was a positive thing for them to connect Jesus with great men of the faith like John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But is it good enough for us to esteem Jesus to a place that is good, or should we esteem Jesus to a place where he is God? The answer is we should always esteem Christ to the place that he is God. He is our Savior. He is the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, co-equal, co-existent, eternally existent with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Now, the people around him were looking at Jesus and saying, wow, I mean, he is something special. I mean, he's like John the Baptist, and John the Baptist shook this place. He's like Elijah, and we've heard stories since we were just kids about all the great works of Elijah, the prophet in the past. He's like Jeremiah, man, he's got a heart. I mean, he's like the weeping prophet. I mean, he's amazing. He is a prophet. That's what they said. But that wasn't enough. You know what concerns me about people in our area and people in general who have been exposed to faith and church and Christianity for years and years and years, that they think highly of Jesus, but they have never put Jesus in his proper place as the King and Lord of their life. They've never taken Jesus to the place and put him in the place where he is their Savior. The proper title of Jesus, and I like to go through this occasion because it helps me. I hope it helps you. The proper title of Jesus is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, that title is perfect because, first of all, we meet Jesus. Jesus was his name. Now, this is kind of hard for us to think about in our culture because, I mean, how many of you, when you're looking through name books to name your new baby boy, you thought, well, maybe we should name him Jesus. Folks don't really do that in our culture. I remember the first time I saw the name Jesus on a Latin American child, I thought, oh my lands, what were they thinking? I said, I'm going to have a hard time calling this kid's name Jesus. And somebody explained to me, you know, you're redneck, you don't have a clue, preacher. That his name is Jesus. I'm like, oh, I see. That makes it a little bit easier, doesn't it? But his name was Jesus, and in the time that Christ was born, it was a name that was referenced in the same in the New Testament time as the name Joshua. It literally means Jehovah is salvation, and it is a beautiful name. It is a wonderful name, and there is no salvation given among men except under the name of Jesus, our Savior. But his name was Jesus. Do you know that the whole world believes in Jesus? Before you say, wait a minute, preacher. We order our days by Jesus. This is the year of our Lord, Jesus, 2019. His name is Jesus, and that's his name. The whole world believes in Jesus. And the whole world understands that Jesus had an effect on our world. I mean, our calendar is orchestrated by his life. Jesus shook the place, and people believe in Jesus. Now, his title is Jesus Christ. That's a little more specific. And it actually gives Jesus some special authority. If Jesus is Christ, he is the King of the Jews. He is the King of the nation of Israel. He sits on the throne of Jehovah God. If he is the Christ, he is the one that was promised all through the Bible to come and pay the price for our sins. If he is the Christ, then he is the only one that could have gone to a cross and paid the price for our sins. And he is the Christ. Now, the whole world believes in Jesus, but it gets a lot smaller when you start to say, Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful. As a child, I realized that I was a sinner. And without the Christ, Jesus paying the price for my sins, without accepting his free gift of salvation, I'm so glad I realized that Jesus was Christ. And I accepted Christ into my heart to be my personal Savior. He saved my soul. I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful that Jesus is Christ. Now, Jesus, the whole world believes in Jesus. There's a lot of people, and I'm thankful for every person who put their faith in Jesus as the Christ and received Jesus by faith as their Savior. His proper title is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, there's a lot of people who've accepted Him as Christ who will not allow Him to be their Lord. They will not allow Him to be their Lord. And we need to get to the place in our Christian life where we are worshiping and serving Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, there's a group of people. Let's get back to the text. You remember where we were? There was a group of people, and the disciples said, some people think you're Jeremiah, some people John the Baptist, some people Elijah, some people a prophet. And that was nice and good and everything. But so does the whole world. They believe that Jesus did something very special so much that they align their days with the calendar in the year of our Lord, 2019. Jesus says, now look, that's good and fine and all. But look what the Bible says in verse number 15. He saith unto them, okay, but whom say ye that I am? Now, what everybody else thinks about Jesus is concerning to me. If you're here today and you've never made Jesus Christ your Savior, I have a burden for your soul. And I want you to have eternal life and faith in Christ and the joy of knowing Jesus the way I do. I love that. But I'll just tell you something. The most important question that can be asked in this room today is, whom say ye that Jesus is? What have I done with Christ? Now, Jesus says, okay, everybody thinks this about me. But he says, now, who do you say that I am? It's very personal. It's very personal. The Bible says in verse number 16, Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter says, okay, I'll tell you who I say you are. And God spoke to Peter, and Peter gave the great confession of faith in his Savior. He says, okay, here's what I believe. Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's fascinating to me. Look in your Bible there in verse number 13. Jesus asked the question. He says, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Now, he refers to himself as the Son of Man. He says, now here I am. I'm living. I'm walking, breathing. I'm eating and drinking. I'm a man. I'm living. He says, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And then Peter answers. He says, "I'll tell you, Jesus, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." In verse 16, Jesus says, "I'm the Son of Man." Peter says, "You're the Son of God." Now, how do those things work together? How do those things work together? Well, Jesus is both humanity and deity. He is both human and divine. He has two parts. He is the God-man. Sometimes this is something that gets confusing in our minds and our hearts. How is Jesus man and God all at the same time? But he must be God because he is who he says he is. Jesus agrees and does and accepts this confession of faith and says to the disciples and says to us in his word that, hey, look, I'm Jesus and I am both man and I am God. He's both. Someone gave this illustration. How do you reconcile who Jesus is? The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Now, the child was born. That's Jesus Christ in his flesh. He was born and he was born to Mary and he was laid in a manger. "For unto us a child is born." But then the Bible says, "Unto us a son is given." He was born of Mary, but he was given by God. "For God so loved the world that he" what? "Gave his only begotten son." Isn't that good? He is the God-man. He's both. Someone said they imagined a scene like this that Jesus can. You remember when Jesus went as a young man and he was asking questions of the scribes and the Pharisees. He got lost from home and people have imagined what that conversation looked like. And someone looked at Jesus and said, "Hey, listen, son, how old are you?" And here's what he could have replied. "Well, on my mother's side, I'm 12. But on my father's side, I'm older than my mother and as old as my father." Let me read that again. "On my mother's side, I'm 12. How long had he been alive on earth? 12 years. He said, "But on my father's side," who's his father? God. He said, "On my father's side, I'm older than my mother and as old as my father." To continue the thought, on his mother's side, he hung on the cross and said, "I thirst." On his father's side, he was the water of life. On his mother's side, he was hungry. But on his father's side, he blessed and broke a little lad's lunch and fed 5,000. On his mother's side, he was homeless. But on his father's side, he had the cattle on 1,000 hills and the wealth in every mine. On his mother's side, he wept at Lazarus' grave. But on his father's side, he had the authority to stand outside of that tomb and say, "Lazarus, come forth." You see, he was the God-man. And if he is going to be our Savior, he must be all man and he must be all God. And I want to tell you something that's glorious to me. He is, he is, he is. And we have hope for eternity because Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. Hallelujah. How old was Peter happy? Peter knew who Jesus was. Peter knew that Jesus was the Son of Man and the Son of God. Jesus had taught him, and he knew, Peter knew that Jesus was the Christ. The Bible says in our text, verse number 16, Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." If he is the Christ, and he is the Christ, then every scribe and Pharisee and every person who put their faith in the law of Moses, if he is the Christ, they must place him on the throne. And Peter said, "Look, you're the Christ. You're the King of Israel. You are the one that has been anointed by God and appointed by God as the prophet, the priest, and the King of kings and Lord of lords." Peter says, "Hey, you're the Christ, the Son of God." the Son of the living God. He is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. If you're the Son of God, what kind of inheritance do you have? You got it all. So if Jesus is the Christ, He's the King of Israel. If Jesus is the Son of God, He's the King of the universe. And Peter proclaims that you are the Son of the living God. And if He is the Son of the living God, and He is. If He is the Christ, and He is. If He is the God-man, and He is. Peter said, I understand these things to be true. And as King Jesus, I humble myself and I call you Lord. And I will follow you, and I will trust you, and I will obey you. And Jesus says, Peter, you've answered well. Blessed. Blessed art thou. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. For flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. What will make you happy? I'll tell you what will make you happy. If you'll move Jesus out of the category of, man, He's a good man, and we can learn some things from Him, to the category of He is King and Lord and Savior, and the only hope that I have as a wretched lost sinner to have victory and peace on earth and victory and peace in heaven forever. What's that look like? I'll tell you what it looks like. Receiving Jesus as the payment for your sin. God loves you. All men are sinners. Who here has never sinned? Don't raise your hand, because if you raise your hand, the Bible says that if you say you have no sin, you make God a liar and the truth's not in you. How many of you have not sinned? We're sinners. Guess what? Sin has a penalty. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's not just, oops, you're dead, let's have a funeral. That's both physical and eternal death. Separation from God in a real place called hell. But Jesus Christ made it possible as the Christ, the Son of the living God, that you and I can personally pray and receive Him by faith as our Savior. Whosoever, that's you, shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't it wonderful? With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Now, there has to come a time when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as the Christ, the Son of the living God, in your heart, and confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Forgive my sins. I trust in You and You alone. It's called getting saved in other places in the Bible. And I'm so thankful that as a child I got saved. And Jesus Christ promised He'd never leave me nor forsake me. And what a joy it is to be saved. What made the difference in Peter's life? Why was he happy? What was the first thing? Jesus lived and said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Why? How? He knew who Jesus was. He knew Jesus was the Savior. He knew Jesus was his only hope. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. One little thing in addition. What did he call him? Jesus says in answer, he says, blessed art thou, Simon. Verse number 17, Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it. Well, why did he say Simon Barjona? Peter had just said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, you're the Son of God. And Jesus says, yes, just as much as you are the son of Jonah. Simon Bar, the son of Jonah. He says, just as much as you're the son of Jonah. You can see that he is the son of Jonah in Luke chapter number 1. As much as you are the son of Jonah, I am the Son of God. That's what Jesus said. And we can rejoice in that. Peter was happy. He was blessed. Because he was instructed by God. Because he knew who Jesus was. Number two, he was blessed because he was instructed by God. Look at what the Bible says in verse 17. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee,
but my Father which is in heaven. Now, did Peter do everything right all the time? Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, he doesn't do everything right from this point forward either. It won't be just a few days until he gets stirred up in his flesh and blood and he takes a sword and he whacks off Malchus's ear. It won't be just a few days until Peter is following along and he's working and operating in the spirit of his flesh and blood that he will follow Jesus afar off and deny him three times. But it won't be long after that until Peter, in the spirit and power of God, having been forgiven for his sins, having turned back to the faith, trusting in the Lord, that God will use him to preach on the day of Pentecost and thousands will get saved. And preach in the temple and thousands will get saved. And write under the inspiration of the Spirit of God the books of 1st and 2nd Peter. You see, there's a difference between spirit and there's a difference between flesh and blood. And Jesus says, hey, Peter, I'll tell you what you've done. You have allowed God to instruct you and you've allowed your God to work in your heart. He says, what you've just quoted to me and said to me is not the product of the flesh. It is the product of the Spirit of God. Flesh and blood have not revealed it unto me thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Do you want to be happy? Be instructed by God. How many of you have ever dealt with something in your flesh and blood and made a big fat mess? You know how it works. You think about it a little bit, and the more you think about it, the bigger it gets, and the bigger it gets, and you start to get mad. And then you start to get, you'll love this word, matter. And matter, and matter, and matter. And then the next thing you know, you say something. Not in the right spirit. Not with the right attitude. And then before you know it, boom, you've made an explosion. How many of you ever made an explosion? Yeah, me too. I hate when I do that. Do you know what Jesus looked at Peter and said? He said, you're happy and you're blessed because flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Do you want to be happy? Do you want to have a happy home? Operate in the power and blessing of God. Give it time before you blow up. Obey the Scripture. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Peter's at this time, he said, Peter, you have exhibited to us what it's like to live in the blessing and understanding of God. Of God. Oh my God, help us. How many times do you think that marriages have been bust up because somebody was operating in the spirit of the flesh and blood? How many church problems do you think have ever come up because somebody was operating in the spirit of their flesh and blood and they let some things just boil up and boil over? May God help us. You want to be happy? I'll tell you. Jesus says, Simon, you're happy. Because number one, you know who Jesus is. Simon, number two, you're happy because you've been instructed by God. Oh, may we be that kind of Christian who says, I will wait on the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I remember years ago, everybody wore those what would Jesus do bracelets. No matter what you may think of those things, they are a grand reminder of that I should not act in the spirit of my flesh, but I should act and respond to the circumstances of life the way God would. The way God would. And we should be reminded. I'll just tell you something. You obey God and trust God and live in the power of the Spirit. Do you know what the direct result of that is? Blessed. Blessed. Peter was blessed because he knew who Jesus was. Peter was blessed because he was instructed by God. And number three, Peter was blessed because he was introduced to the church. He was introduced to the church. Now, here's what the Bible says in this very context. Jesus speaking, verse number 18, he says, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, it's easy to read this passage of Scripture and think that Peter is the rock on which the church is going to be built. That's not true. That's not true at all. Jesus is the rock. Now, when Jesus was speaking to this group of disciples, they would have been very aware of the language and the terminology that Jesus used. In this passage of Scripture, he is using with great understanding some very interesting points and ways of saying things. He says, I've already brought it out to your attention. He says, when he asked the question, who do men say that I am? And Jesus contrasts that when he asked the disciples, who do ye say that I am? See, he's got that comparison and contrast. Then, again, in the Scripture, Jesus uses these words. Peter says to him, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus looks at him and says, well, have you said, Simon, you son of Jonah? As much as I'm the son of God, you are the son of Jonah. And then again, Jesus says, in regards to the church, he says, Peter, do you know what Peter's name literally means? Stone, pebble, smaller stone. It's in the original, it's Petros. I took Greek, in this, but I try not to bring it out much. But it's Petros. In the rest of the verse, he says to Peter, he says, thou art Petros, little rock. And upon this rock, Petra, I will build my church. There is a distinct difference between Peter and Jesus. Now, the disciples would have heard what he said and have understood it, because the Bible says in Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, he is the rock. They knew that word. They knew that, speaking of God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. In Psalm 18, they would have known this passage of Scripture. The Lord is my rock and my fortress. If there's any confusion or potential for confusion, Peter answers it in his own book, 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter, speaking of Christ, he says, ye also are lively stones. He's talking about the church, built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer its spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. There's Jesus. Elect, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone, that's Christ, which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. What did Peter believe? Did Peter believe that he was the rock on which the church was founded? No, he's saying, Jesus is the rock, Jesus is the rock, Jesus is the rock, Jesus is the rock. And Jesus, in Matthew chapter 16, you know what he's saying? Jesus is the rock, Jesus is the rock. It reminds me of going through a field and with a loader bucket trying to roll over some stones. This is how it works. The Peter, the Petros, when you're going through the field, you hit one and it rolls over. Petros, you hit another one, Petros, you hit another one, Petros, you hit another one, Petros, and then you hit one, Petra, and it bends the loader bucket in two. That's the one that Jesus was. He was that big rock. He was that deep foundation. He was the chief cornerstone. And the Bible says, Jesus speaking to Peter, he says, hey, look, Peter, you're blessed, and upon, I also say unto thee that thou art Peter, a small stone, and upon this rock, the rock which is Jesus, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What made him happy about being introduced to the church? The church, the Bible, is a called out assembly. I believe the proper definition of the church is a group of baptized believers who are gathered together for the purpose of the Great Commission. And we are a church. We're a group of people. And our church has such a valuable, wonderful function. And this is its beginning and its inception. We find it in the Bible. And the church, the Bible says, Jesus speaking, I will build my church. Jesus builds the church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. How many of you have ever found it hard to live the Christian life? It's difficult, isn't it? It's not always easy. Some people have the idea that once I get saved, God will roll all the troubles away. Well, God intends to make your life peaceful and wonderful and blessed, but all the trouble doesn't go away when you get saved. As a matter of fact, sometimes it gets more because the devil hates Christians who are living for him. But the Bible says that God has given you something that will help you. He says, hey, look, Peter, you are a small stone built on the foundation, which is me, and the church is going to become this great building, and the church is going to be this great group of people, and in the church, as a result of the church, God says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and we have this promise as a part of the church. As we work together and thrive together and serve God together, that the devil doesn't stand a chance against the power and authority of the church. I'm so thankful for the live stream and folks that are able to watch it. This is no, but live stream and internet is no substitute for church. And we have the opportunity and the privilege to gather together as a group of people, and we encourage and strengthen someone. The old man had been laying out of church, and the preacher went and saw him. And they kicked dust around. The old man was burning some brush, and they kicked dirt around and chatted for a minute, and without saying a word, the preacher took a hot, red-hot coal out of the middle of that fire with a shovel, and he just took that red-hot coal and set it to the side. Just a few minutes, that red-hot coal that was once burning bright and red had snuffed out and gone completely out and cold. The next Sunday, the preacher was at church, and the guy that had been missing church came in the back door and sat down. At the conclusion of the service, he said, "Preacher, you taught me a great lesson." He says, "I can't stay warm or even lukewarm. I can't stay hot and on fire for God and His glory if I'm not part of the body." And we have the privilege to be a church. The privilege to be a church. There are so many times I've walked in to church discouraged and walked out of church encouraged and helped because of the strength and the vitality and the love of the church. And Jesus says to Peter, he says, "I'm building the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." We're going to thrive. We're going to be blessed. We're going to see great victory. I had someone tell me the other day, they said, "I don't know how someone could possibly stay married and not be part of the church." And I say, "I don't either." We've got opportunity. As a church, we encourage each other. Some folks say, "I don't know how in the world that a kid could make it in this society without the church." And I say, amen to that. And I am the product of Chilhowee Baptist Church. I am confident, folks, that if it wasn't for the ministry of this church, that I'd probably be dead somewhere. But God used His church. And guess what God does with His church? The gates of hell can't prevail against it. I'm a product of this church. And so if you ever begin to think, I can worship God without church, you might be able to, but you won't do it very effectively. And if you think I can thrive without, you're wrong. We work together. We thrive together. And God says He's going to bless His church. And it's the gates of hell that can't prevail against the church. And we work together and live together and thrive together. And it's a beautiful thing. Church is work. The church is right. And church is important. It's not a social club, but it's an opportunity for a group of people to come together and serve the Lord together, encourage one another, hold each other accountable. And I'll just tell you something. If you'll become a vital part of your church, then you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Hey, Peter, you're blessed." Why? Because he knew who Jesus was. He was saved. Because he was instructed of God, he was willing to listen to God and obey God and learn from God and not operate in the power of his flesh. And thirdly, he was introduced to the church. He was introduced to the church. I know there's testimonies all over this room. You can say, I'm so thankful that God introduced me to this church. It's changed my life. Changed the life of my family, my children. I'll just ask you, how many of you would be honest enough to say that the ministry of the Chilhowee Baptist Church, we give God all the glory, but how many of you say the ministry of Chilhowee Baptist Church has been a great blessing and help to you and your family? If that's you, would you raise your hand? It's wonderful. I'm convinced that if it wasn't for this church, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. Blessed. Perfect church? No, not even close. I know your pastor. And the one you're getting ready to have. I'm just messing. Perfect? No. Trying? Oh, yes. Burden to do the right thing? The power of the Spirit of God? Yes. And I'll tell you what, if we'll stay with God's Word and keep Jesus on the throne of our hearts and first, guess what will happen? Out of our blessed body, the church, we'll see many other people be able to say, hey, I'm blessed. Oh, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Why? I know who Jesus is. I'm saved. I'm blessed. Why? Because of the best of my ability, I'm trying to live in the instruction of God and His Word. Blessed. Why? Because I'm part of the church, the glorious body. I'm resting in Christ. I don't know about you, but I want to be happy. And God's given us some clear instruction on how to be happy.